about the nature of the mind and how the mind causes so many problems, and it illusions us to think this is my friend, this is my enemy, when actually our only enemy is our mind. This is described in the 23rd chapter of the 11th canto, text 48. Tambu jayam shatram masaya vegam arun tu jantana vijitjitjit kurvanchi sadvigraha akshamachyan mitranudhasina vipundimuda. If we don't conquer this terrible enemy of the mind, whose urges are intolerable and who torments the heart, then the 11th canto describes that people will become completely bewildered and create useless quarrel with others. And in this way, they'll conclude that other people are either their friends, their enemies, or parties indifferent to them. In the Bhagavad Gita, it begins with the first chapter, which our acharyas have called Vishad Yoga. Vishad means lamentation. And we know that Arjuna tells Krishna, Senayor Vayor Madhye Ratam Sapayame Achyuta. O Achyuta, take my chariot in between the armies. I want to see the enemy. And it's very interesting. Krishna brings Arjuna in between both armies and he waves his hand at both of the armies. And he says, here's the enemy, Arjuna. It has a deep purport. Krishna is the chariot driver of Arjuna. And he's telling him, in effect, that if you want me to lead you, if you want me to guide you, you should understand who is the enemy and who is not. And Arjuna, the real enemy here is not Duryodhana. The real enemy is not Dronacharya and Ashwatthama from Bijnadeva. But the real enemy, Arjuna, is your misunderstanding, your upadis. And therefore, Rupa Goswami has written, Sarva upadi vinir mukna, tapirata vinir nirmana, rishikena rishikesha, sevana bhakti uchite. That real service, the bhakti begins, when we become free from upadis, or designations. So when Arjuna saw all the different persons assembled in the battle before him, he became dismayed. Why? He's, first of all, a very powerful warrior. Previously he fought with Indra, he fought with Lord Shiva. He's a very, very powerful personality. A warrior doesn't become illusioned over such a small thing. Moreover, he's a devotee of Krishna. But when he saw Bijnadeva, his grandfather, on the other side of the battle, when he saw his cousin brother, Duryodhana, on the other side of the battlefield, when he saw his teacher, Dronacharya, when he saw Ashwatthama, the son of his teacher, it caused him bewilderment of mind. Why? Because these are all upadis. In this world, the living entity has to have some kind of identification. And just like a young lady who goes to a big shopping center and she buys some clothes off the rack, and those clothes will give her some designation. She might buy a leather jacket and some jeans with studs on them. Or she might buy a bikini, or she might buy a three-piece suit for a woman. And according to the way she dresses, she'll identify herself. Because there's a crisis in this world, a crisis of identity. People don't know who we are. A young girl, when she's born from the womb, she has no understanding of who she is. According to Vedic literature, her first conception of herself is her hunger, unaware. She identifies this hunger, this is me. And then a little later, she relates to two other people. Oh, these are my parents. My parents. And those parents give her some identity. I'm their child. That's who I am. And she grows a little bit older. Oh, I'm a girl. A baby girl, and I'm very cute. And everybody likes to come and tickle me. Say little funny sounds, and I smile and laugh, and everybody becomes very happy. That's who I am. And then a little later, she gets another designation. I'm a student going to school, and I'm a good girl, I'm a bad girl. I'm a good student, or I'm a bad student. Those are designations by which she uses to identify herself. And as we were saying yesterday, maybe when she gets about the age of 12 or 14, she becomes a goddess. And all the boys start following her around like lusty dogs. And she's very happy in this way. And she's identifying like this. And then later she gets married. And now she has a new designation. I'm XYZ person's wife. That's who I am. And then she has a child. And then she has another designation. I am a mother. All these designations are based upon relationships with other persons' bodies. If that baby dies, she has a crisis. Not just because she's attached to the personality and the body of that baby, but she has a crisis because she loses part of her own identity. She has this conception, I'm a mother. And now if I lose this baby, what is my identity? If I lose my husband, how am I a wife? If I lose my mother and my father, how am I their child? I'll lose part of my own identity. And this was the crisis that Arjuna was facing. And Krishna wants to teach us that we have to see our real enemy is our bodily identification and these upadis, these external designations. Due to which, identifying with the mind and seeing these things, fear arises. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam describes, Bhayam, Vidya Vinidesa Tasha, Isharupe Tasha Viparyo Smriti. The Isharupe Tasha Viparyo Smriti, from this misunderstanding of who I am, comes duality. And we don't see Krishna everywhere, we don't see Krishna's hand, we see something separate from Krishna. By vidya, this vidya, abhinivesha, this absorption in something separate from the Lord, we don't see His hand, and fear comes. An illusion. And as the verse is describing today, I think this is my friend, this is my enemy. When in this world, really, there is no enemy. There's a famous cartoon strip in America called Pogo. And it's about some little creatures who live in the forest. And there was a long strip, long series of cartoons that the author made about a war that was going on. And the war was continuing for some time, and somehow you never saw the enemy. But the enemy was always there, and the war was always going on. And in the concluding strip, we had a very famous saying in it, which is also very Krishna conscious. The hero of the cartoon, he says, we've met the enemy. And he's us. There actually was no enemy. And it was all just some illusion, some identification with the mind. So this mind is a very, very wicked thing. This mind causes so many different troubles for the living entities. And we have to take shelter of sound vibration. The sound vibration will help us. It will help us to come out and become free from illusion. It's described in Haribhakti Vilas. Manas sanharanam socham monam mantra tichintanam avigratnam anirvedo japa sampati hetavah. That if we want to perfect our japa, we need to cultivate these different qualities. First of all, manas samharanam socha. We have to cultivate control of our mind. And that control of the mind comes by proper hearing every day, the Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse that we're reading today has the exact same words as another verse which is found in the first canto. So this is Shokamoha Bhayadaya. In the seventh chapter, seventh verse of the first canto, it says Shokamoha Bhayapaha. Here it's describing that if one doesn't control the mind in the fifth canto, today's verse, then one becomes prey to fear, lamentation, and illusion. And the seventh verse of the seventh chapter of the first canto, it says Shokamoha Bhayapaha, is destroyed by Apaha by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the proper source. So Srila Prabhupada said every day we have to have hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. After my Buddha spiritual master left this world, I remember we were we'd gone to Malaysia for a few months for printing some books and doing some things, and we came back and the temple there was problems. There was a lot of quarrel going on. And we saw there was no Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I asked the devotees what's going on. I said, there's no time. There's so many things going on. It's very, very difficult. There's no time for Srimad Bhagavatam class. And I told them, I said, see, there's so much quarrel going on because we're not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, then we can understand the real position and everything. And this Shoka Moha Bhaya, this fear, lamentation, illusion, they go away. In the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, in his commentaries, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he speaks about three different stages of bhakti, which he calls abhyasa, manana, and smarana. The Gita says, abhyasa yoga yuktena. In the beginning, it requires some practice. These three things, or vyasa, manana, smarana, are three stages of control of the mind. In the beginning, we're practicing and practicing, but we're not thinking very deeply. Someone's cleaning the temple because the temple authorities have told them to. But while he's cleaning the temple, he's thinking about his old girlfriend, or he's thinking about some movie that he saw. But after some time, the vyasa, yoga, yukteya, continual practice, what happens? The temple becomes clean. And when the temple becomes clean, our mind becomes clean also. Our mind becomes peaceful. And then at that stage begins manana. One can begin to contemplate something a little deeper. Why am I doing this thing? Why are the temple authorities asking this? Why does Srila Prabhupada want the temple to be clean? Also, Krishna will be pleased. So the Vaishnava will be clear. So it's good for preaching when people come. And this is a much superior platform of practice, because on this platform, one goes much, much deeper. And then from this platform of manana comes smarana. Remember, Krishna naturally comes to our mind. Just like when we've seen some movie before with a devotee or something, and then later on that movie comes to our mind, or some song that we heard as a child, it naturally comes to our mind. So in the same way, when we practice manana, or contemplation of what it is that we're doing, then very quickly we come to the platform of smarana. Remember, so Krishna naturally comes to our mind. And some sadhus say that smarana means mind. Smarana means remembrance, smarana means death. That we begin to remember Krishna naturally when we die. We were speaking something last night in the song about Lord Nityananda. When we give up all of our material desires, we give up our attachments and illusions, and depend simply upon Krishna. Similarly, in Jaya Dharma, Thakur Bhakti knows, he describes five different stages of non-bhajan. Shravana dasa, Garana dasa, Smarana dasa, Apana dasa, and Sampati dasa. Smarana dasa means hearing. So everything begins with hearing. according to the sound vibration that we hear, it's going to deeply affect our consciousness. And the little girl, she grows up with hearing. See, her parents are saying, you're a doctor, we love you, here's mommy, here's daddy. And that sound vibration then determines her consciousness and determines how she's going to behave. So in the beginning, the Shravana Dasa. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes two divisions of Shravana Dasa. Krama Hina Shravana Dasa and Krama Sudha Shravana Dasa. Krama Hina Shravana Dasa means hearing that's done, it's not done properly, improper hearing. It's hearing, Bhaktivinoda says, without determination, and it doesn't include hearing about Krishna's pastimes. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that rasa doesn't develop from that kind of hearing. For Srila Prabhupada, he said that every day devotees should read and hear Krishna book. If we don't do that, then Kamahina Shravana Dasa, someone may be not so determined in their hearing. This is also known as Anishita Bhajana Kriya. It's not steady bhajana. The mind is very, very disturbed and we start and stop. So we have to come to the platform of Kama Sudha Shravana Dasa, where we hear with determination and we hear service. Hearing is also a service. In fact, it's the best service. And it's the beginning of all service. Because if we don't hear, we don't know how to please Guru. We don't know how to please the Vaishnavas. So hearing is very, very important. And that hearing includes hearing our chanting. As we'll describe, I think, later this morning, we'll continue this Nam Prem Yogya song from Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal. The shruk, or the spoon in that Nam Yajna is our tongue. And the ghee that goes in that fire pit is the holy name of Krishna. And the pit is our ear. So as we were saying in the other night, we have to pour that ghee in our ear, the kund of our ear. If we pour it on our feet or on our head or some other place, then the ghee doesn't go into our heart and doesn't stimulate the fire of bhakti in the heart. So hearing is very, very important. And we have to come to the platform of Kama Sudha Shravana Dasa, which means regular hearing with great determination and hearing about Krishna's pastimes, Bhaktivinoda says. So after some time of hearing of Shravana Dasa comes Varna Dasa. Varna Dasa means the platform of acceptance. It's not just that we hear and we immediately accept. But after some time of hearing, then, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I can do that thing. That's the stage of Varna Dasa. Mm-hmm. And when the devotee becomes qualified, the guru gives him some mantra, and he receives that mantra and things, and when he begins to take that seriously and take shelter of that thing and not shelter of other ideas or other solutions, there is no other solution. This is the Hare Krishna movement. Our solution is taking shelter of the holy name. Our solution is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the solution in this movement. Then when someone has faith in that thing, that's the platform of Varna Dasa. And then from the platform of Varna Dasa comes the platform of the Smarana Dasa, a remembrance. And there are five different divisions of Smarana Dasa. The first one is Smarana Vasta. Smaradasa means that it's interrupted. Sometimes when we're chanting, we might actually, in the platform of Smaradasa, think of Krishna for just a moment or two. But then our mind is distracted. We're thinking about the problems in our life. We're thinking about our work that we have to do, this thing or that thing. And our mind becomes distracted. After some time of such Smaradasa chanting, is interrupted, becomes the platform of Dharana. And dharana is when we become absorbed in an uninterrupted way. And when that dharana goes even deeper, it's known as dhyana, concentrated meditation. And when that dhyana goes even deeper, it's known as anusmriti, or constant meditation. It's also known as dhruva anusmriti, or perfect meditation. And then that Dhruvarashmriti leads to the next stage of Smaranadasa, which is samadhi, or trance. Mm-hmm. And when one becomes completely absorbed in trance, then he begins to see all of Krishna's leelas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Harinam Chintamani, he says, Name, Prasthatika Hoy, Rupa Gunatam. He describes this platform, which is now known as Apanadasya. Apanadasya application. He begins to see Krishna's leelas, some trophy, something which comes before him. Name, Prasthatika Hoy, Rupa Gunatam. From the holy name blossoms Krishna's form first, then next comes Krishna's qualities, and then Krishna's pastimes, his lila, or his karma. And all of those come from the holy name. They come from deep absorption in the holy name. And that stage is known as Apanadasa, or Surup Siddhi, where one sees and understands something about his Surup, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In his commentary on Shikshashtakam, he says this is the platform of Bhav Bhakti, where one actually begins to understand something about their own surup, their own nature. But their absorption still is not, is there, but they're not, they haven't entered into the lila. And then the final stage comes with Sampati Dasa. Sampati means to inherit. And one inherits one receives inheritance of their spiritual master. It's also known as Bhaktisiddhi. And on that stage, one enters into Krishna Lila. So these are different stages which come naturally through the stages, through the process of hearing. But our problem is we have very, very wicked minds. Nipa Thakur Bhakti, we know, he's given us this very beautiful song of Gopinath. In a few lines of it.
Harajini, 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 Harajini,
done my defeat. I'm finished. Uh-huh. The only hope that I have is you.
Agarev,
Pandumam Bataha. He says that I'm on the way to Vrindavan, but on my road, some gundas have come and they've attacked me. And what are those gundas? What are the gundas on the road of spiritual life? They're not the gundas that set your car. When you're driving to Radhakund at night, they stop your car. We know one Mataji from Dallas, Texas. They stop your car coming back. She was coming back from Radhakund Prakat, the appearance of Radhakund Bhagavastami. And they put a log in front of the road and attacked. They stopped. And they jumped out with a shotgun. They blew out the windshield of the car. And she was hit in the chest, just near her heart, with some of the pellets from that shotgun. Fortunately for her, the driver very quickly reacted and spun the car around and drove off the other direction. And she was taken to the hospital and she survived. It's not those kinds of gundas. There's another kind of gunda. Pratishta Raju Vyavadam. They're coming with ropes. The ropes of Pratishta. By thinking that I'm a big person, thinking that I'm in charge of this, thinking that that I'm a senior person. The opposite of Kanadapi Sanichinabhav. This is our enemy, spiritual life. And Kamadjaratnapatidhi, those ropes begin with lust, anger, and greed. There's the personality that comes and ties up with Pratishta. And in lust, anger, and greed. So we pray, Chittasudasanarambhasthan, Adhare Pantamambhataha. May the devotees of the Adhademan, and the Adhademan Bhaktivinoda says represents pop or sin. May the devotees of the killer of the Adhademan come and cut those ropes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he speaks about the dagger that they use to cut those ropes. He says, there's no doubt that the words of the sadhus possess the power of destroying the evil propensities of one's mind. The sadhus in this way benefit everyone who associates with them. There are many things which we do not disclose to the sadhu. The real sadhu makes us speak out what we keep concealed in our hearts. He then applies the knife. The very word sadhu has no other meaning than this. Sadhu means someone who cuts. The sadhu stands in front of the block with the uplifted sacrificial knife in his hand. And the sensuous desires of men are like the goats. And the sadhu stands there to kill those desires by the merciful stroke of the keen edge of the sacrificial knife in the form of unpleasant language. Tip the two of some of them. We have to have that thing. And therefore we have to associate with sadhus. We have to pray. If we don't see sadhus, we have to pray to Krishna, please send me sadhus. I need that thing. Because otherwise, how will we become free from this bondage of our mind? This bondage of saying, this is my friend, this is my enemy. Being caught up in these bodies. Being caught up in this Vishad Yoga. Yoga of lamentation. We have to change that. And instead of crying for our situation, we have to begin to cry for Krishna. Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, we have to understand that bhakti is the real thing. Bhakti is the real solution. Bhakti is the real wealth. Bhakti is our real goal. Nothing else is the goal. We want bhakti, we want devotion. Okay, alright. What is that bhakti? Bhakti ehi Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna's name. Smara and Kandana. Not just chanting Krishna's name in a mechanical way, as we said, three stages of vyasa, manana, and smarana. Not just doing a vyasa practice in a mechanical way, but Vrindavan Das Thakur says, Name Krasya Tito, he says that Bhakti A. Krishna, Smarana, remembering Krishna, and Krandana, crying. Gatvacha Mamanana, Ni, Vidanti Mamasamido, Te Shamaham Parikrito, Nanyat Krito Jarayana. We have to learn, Prabhupada says, the simple art of crying for Krishna. And this verse from the Adi Purana, Krishna tells Arjuna, I am not purchased by anyone else. I'm not purchased by the Christians. I'm not purchased by the Muslims. I'm not purchased by the Jews. I'm not purchased by the Hindus. I'm not purchased by the Hare Krishnas. It's not enough just that we chant something for Krishna. And we're doing something else. We have to learn to cry for Krishna. And so whatever feelings we have, whatever anxieties we have, whatever problems we have, which are always there in the material world, this is a solution. We have to learn to cry. Cry, Gopinath. I have no hope. You're my only hope. We have to learn to cry out to Krishna's name. And then all the problems become solved. And it seems very, very simple. What before seemed an insurmountable difficulty. Rupa Goswami says, Durgata Gatayami Dhatri. The impossible becomes possible very easily by the name of Krishna. Prabhupada Shrimad Bhagavatam, Gita, Namo 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 Bhagavatam, Gita,